I don't know how the discussion came up, but the other day in the lunchroom at the hospital, you ever notice how a lot of things happen at the lunchroom in the hospital? I think it's probably the only opportunity that I have to speak to other people without violating the hospital rules about talking about Scripture. But the subject came up about the seven deadly sins. Okay. Now, if you've been raised in Catholicism, you know what that's all about. And a lot of people recite those seven deadly sins almost by rote, and they think that it's written in the Scripture, but it's not. Anyway, we started a discussion on it, and as usually happens, the discussion shortly thereafter derailed to some worldly discussion. But when I got home, I looked the seven deadly sins up on the computer and confirmed that the seven deadly sins were not listed in Scripture as such, but were compiled by the Catholic Church in its beginnings. These supposedly deadly sins are lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, and pride. Of course, we can find evidence in the Scripture that deals with each of these subjects. However, they're not listed as such in a list form. The Catholic Church also compiled seven virtues that are essentially the opposite of the sins, which are chastity in response to lust, temperance in response to gluttony, charity in response to greed, diligence in response to sloth, forgiveness in response to wrath, and kindness in response to envy, and humility in response to pride. These are all subjects that we're familiar with. As I perused these lists, I compared them in my mind to the Ten Commandments, which are, of course, an abbreviated summary of the entirety of the Law of Moses, being written by the very hand of Yahweh. The Ten Commandments are our primary instruction, our essential law. And in 1 John 3 and 4, we find, "Whosoever commits sin also transgresses the law." For sin is the transgression of the law. So here is the clear instruction to obey the law of Yahweh, and that breaking the law is called sin. Now, the first four, if not five, of the Ten Commandments directly relate to honoring Yahweh, the Almighty. The fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, may be reasoned to be a call to honor both Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, and His bride, being our nurturer, whom Yahweh divorced, and of whom a remnant will be saved, the 12 tribes of Israel. The remaining Ten Commandments are primarily ordinances of how we are to treat others. Don't murder, steal, lie, or envy. The commandment not to commit adultery can be viewed in a figurative sense, as well as the literal, not to adulterate. In other words, it can be considered an admonition against breaking the form of worship that Yahweh has prescribed for us. So it would be if someone worshiped on a Thursday or on a Sunday, they would be in violation of the law to not adulterate. So I noticed that the seven deadly sins compilation did not include the majority of these fundamental sins against Yahweh. I found myself imagining that, for example, if a profit-making organization could create such morality in its employees, that is, a morality that excludes Yahweh, then they could pretty well ride roughshod over them. Four of these seven sins, temperance, charity, diligence, and humility, the opposite of gluttony, greed, sloth, and pride, would increase one's will to work and reduce one's will to acquire wealth. By adhering to these virtues, workers could easily give up their earnings without complaint. So what was, and perhaps still is, the purpose of compiling those directives, those so-called seven deadly sins? Well, I can't know the hearts of those who prospered these things. However, I submit as my opinion that at the very least, even if they were not designed to provide a steady income with which to employ workers who would build grandiose houses of false worship, they had that effect in the most egregious form. Those so-called seven deadly sins were written as a way of diminishing the law of Yahweh, a deadly sin in and of itself. Now, there is a place in Scripture that lists seven sins. That is, if Yahweh considers an abomination to be a sin. If you would turn to the book of Proverbs, in chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. Proverbs 6:16 says, "These six things Yahweh hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him." Verse 17, "A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren." Well, pretty serious things. Well, let's examine them one by one. A proud look. If you would turn to the book of Luke in chapter 18, Book of Luke, chapter 18 and verse 9, says, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness," Luke chapter 18, verse 9, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Yahshua told this parable. Two men..." Apparently I'm in the wrong section. I'm okay? Okay. "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. 'Elohim, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week." He's telling Yahweh this, right? "I fast twice a week. I've lost my place. Okay. And give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance." I get the picture. He was afraid to approach Yahweh. He had fear of Yahweh in him. "The tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his chest and said, 'Yahweh, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, rather than the Pharisee, went home justified before Yahweh. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.'" Yahshua was very aware of the pride of man. And he was aware of the temptations that we suffer. Still, he gives us a story of how important it is to fear Yahweh, to be humble in front of him. The second thing that Yahweh hates is a lying tongue. If you would turn to the book of John and chapter 8. The book of John and chapter 8 and verse 43 says, "Why do you not understand what I say?" This is Yahshua speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees. "Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature. It is his nature to lie, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me." The third thing that Yahweh hates is hands that shed innocent blood. If you turn to the book of Isaiah in the first chapter, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 15. A short and succinct but very powerful verse. Isaiah 1:15 says, "When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood." Enough said on that. The fourth thing are we on number four? The fourth thing that Yahweh hates are feet that are swift in running to evil. Again, in the book of Isaiah, please turn to chapter 58 and verse 13. Isaiah 58:13 says, "If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of Yahweh honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in Yahweh, and I will cause you to ride on the hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of Yahweh has spoken." And now you notice the word feed in there. And in this sense, the person is essentially ticking Sabbath. And he turns away from that. If you turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 73 says, Psalm 73, a psalm of Asaph, or Esau. "Surely Elohim is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills." Verse 6. "Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves in violence, with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. The evil conceits of their minds know no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heavens, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, "How can Elohim know? Does the Most High have knowledge?" This is what the wicked are like, always carefree. They increase in wealth. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. If I had said, "I will speak thus," I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me, till I entered the sanctuary of Elohim. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you, Yahweh, placed them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruins. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so when you arise, O Sovereign, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but Elohim is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near Elohim. I have made the Sovereign Yahweh my refuge, and I will tell of all your deeds. A very powerful chapter in Psalms, describing people who run their own way, who run after wealth, after power on this earth. And he describes what it's like to love Yahweh in poverty, in torment on this earth. To love Yahweh means to suffer, to endure, to pick up the torture stake that Joshua carried, to endure ridicule and hardship, so as not to be caught up in one's pride and one's wealth and one's power on this earth. The fifth thing that Yahweh hates is a false witness who speaks lies. In Proverbs 19 and 9, you don't have to turn to it because it's just one verse. Okay? Proverbs 19, 9 says, "A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish." Again, enough said. Well, maybe not enough. If you would turn to the book of Zephaniah. Book of Zephaniah, in chapter 3. Zephaniah 3, verse 9. I see people still looking, so... Zephaniah 3, verse 9 says, "Then will I purify the lips of the peoples." He's speaking of a time that has not yet arrived. Or perhaps it has. Hopefully, we have a touch of that. We have advanced look at Yahweh purifying the lips of the peoples. Then will I purify the lips of the peoples, that all of them may call on the name of Yahweh and serve Him shoulder to shoulder. From beyond the rivers of Cushmi, worshippers, my scattered people will bring me offerings. On that day you will not be put to shame for all the wrongs you have done to me, because I will remove from this city those who rejoice in their pride. Never again will you be haughty on my holy hill, but I will leave within you the meek and humble who trust in the name of Yahweh. The remnant of Israel will do no wrong. They will speak no lies, nor will deceit be found in their mouths. They will eat and lie down, and no one will make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Yahweh has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. Yahweh, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. Yahweh, your Elohim, is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Wow. What would that be like? To be held and sung to. To be comforted in the arms of Yahweh. But that will only happen with those who are unwilling to lie, unwilling to deceive, those who are willing to speak the truth. And the last thing that Yahweh lists as something that he detests, that he finds abominable, is one who sows discord among brethren. How bad is that? How evil is it to create conflict and chaos and divide the assembly? If you turn to the book of James, in chapter 3, James chapter 3 and verse 13. Begins. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. That is the bitter envy and self-seeking. But is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. I mean, how willing is Yahweh to yield when He forgives us of our sins? I mean, we sin, we think evil thoughts. But how willing is Yahweh to yield and to forgive us when we obey Him and seek Him? That which comes from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Peacemakers are those who work with others who are in conflict, those who seek out those who are angry and try to diminish the anger and bring people together. That is a peacemaker. It brought to mind the phrase in Deuteronomy 6 where Yahweh says He is one. Okay? He is unity. And Yahshua prays to Yahweh at the end of his life here on earth that Yahweh might accept those that Yahweh has chosen that have been given to Yahshua. Those who Yahshua has given the name of Yahweh. He is the great peacemaker. He is the one who has brought us, who is in conflict with Yahweh, through Him. He is the model for us to be peacemakers among men. If you would turn to the book of Proverbs, in chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 12 says, "A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes, he shuffles his feet, he points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually and sows discord. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy." Now, I looked, after reading these verses, I looked back at the seven deadly sins and at the seven things that Yahweh hates in order to compare them. And I discovered something, to me, extremely interesting. Yahweh commands us not to lie, right? Just exactly where in the seven deadly sins does it say anything about not lying? It's not there. So in effect, the seven deadly sins are, in and of themselves, a grandiose lie. These are not the things that Yahweh hates. Yeah. Scripture preaches, you know, not to be greedy, not to seek wealth, to be strong workers, to be hard workers. But by leaving this message out, they are a diversion away from Yahweh. The seven deadly sins are a diversion away from Yahweh. They divert attention from Yahweh and towards those who teach false doctrines and suck the life's blood from those who have been chained to their cross, a cross upon which hangs an image, an idol of Him who was in the beginning, who came to earth and taught His Father's will, who was slain on earth and is now in heaven, and who will return to redeem those who honored Him and our Heavenly Father, who did not make images of anything in heaven or on earth. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4 says, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, and I'm assuming thousands of generations, to those who love me and keep my commandments." I learned something very powerful in putting this sermon together. Something that I thought was okay turns out to be a grand deception. And it rather than the seven things that Yahweh hates, and it rather than the Ten Commandments, circulates in our society. And people talk about it as if it were something true and final and complete. Seven deadly sins are not of Yahweh. The seven things that he hates is of Yahweh. The Ten Commandments is of Yahweh. And he's commanded us to understand this, to read the scriptures so that we may understand. And so it's my prayer that we may exercise diligent vigilance in our search for truth so that we are not overcome with the evil that looks like truth, sounds like truth, and even feels like truth. Spiritual truth is only of Yahweh, by Yahweh, and for Yahweh. He alone has given us spiritual truth. And if mankind speaks anything that is not of his book, or purposely leaves anything out that is from his book, then it is a lie. And may we continue in his word, his spirit, and in his will, I say, hallelujah.